Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, I have a very special guest joining us, David Cunningham. He is a communication expert and seminar leader for Landmark, a personal and professional growth, training, and development company that has had more than 2.4 million people use its programs to cause breakthroughs in their personal lives as well as their communities, generating more than 100,000 community projects around the world. In the Landmark Forum, Landmark's flagship program, people cause breakthroughs in their performance, communication, relationships, and overall satisfaction in life. David is a senior program leader and a Landmark Forum leader with Landmark. He has successfully led programs to hundreds of thousands of people around the world since 1991. David has been extensively trained in presenting and delivering Landmark's programs, material, and technology in a powerful and effective manner, and he achieves the highest ratings from individuals, organizations, and groups for his presentation and delivery. David earned a master's in education from Connecticut State University and a bachelor's in education from the University of Connecticut. Before he began leading programs for Landmark, David served as the director of Connecticut Justice for Children Collaboration and the director of chapter development for the National Committee for Prevention of Child Abuse. Thank you so much for joining us today, David.
You're welcome, Jennifer. Wonderful to be with you.
Yeah, so for our listeners out there who might not be familiar with Landmark or its programs, I'll give you a quick history. For me personally, I remember I must have been probably 21 or 22 at the time, and I was just starting off my career. I wasn't sure what direction I wanted to go, and I had no idea who I was in the world. I had grown up being shy and thinking that I was an introvert and not knowing how to interact with people powerfully, and thank God one of my husband's best friends at the time bought as a gift for he and his brother, the Landmark Forum, which eventually led to my doing it. And to this day, I still even offer my own employees a scholarship if they choose to take it. So David, tell us, I mean, for me, it's just been absolutely transformational to get to participate in this work for the last 10 plus years. How did you come to get involved in Landmark?
Well, I started way back in 1983. I was 32 years old at the time, so I'm 65 now. So it's been half my life.
Wow.
And I found out about it similar to you. I had a great, great friend and mentor who had done the program herself and then recommended it to me. And like you said, from that moment, for my very first day in the program, life altered. I literally saw that nothing was impossible. And I, you know, have been empowered now for 33 years out of my participation. And it never stops. It gets better all the time.
Oh, I know. I know the feeling. And the funny thing for me is why I'm so absolutely delighted, aside from the fact of just the gift that keeps on giving, everything I've learned from Landmark, is owning my own recruiting company, which I've had now for about 7 years. The interesting thing is I encounter so many job seekers who come to me and they say, Jennifer, I just feel like it's not the right job for me, or I've lost that sense of satisfaction in my job. And as talented and trained as I like to think I am on the recruiting side, I'm by no means trained to the extent that you and your colleagues are. And what I love to do, and I've done this hundreds of times throughout my career, the first thing I tell people is if you're in the midst of a career transition and you're not sure and you want to reinvent yourself, by all means go check out Landmark Education. Because I'll never forget, my brother-in-law actually was a bartender well into his late 30s, the one who had the gift given to him, and went on to do Landmark Education and get fired from his job, which was the best blessing ever, get a corporate job making well over six figures, and now has a wife who he met in Landmark and a lovely baby that they just had. And I just think stories like that are the norm and not, you know, not an unusual circumstance, wouldn't you say, David?
Absolutely. One of my best friends, when he first did the program, was a plumber. He owned his own plumbing business. But then after the form, he started talking about what he really wanted to do. And believe it or not, what he really wanted to do was become an international consultant for CEOs around the world. Well, guess what he's been doing for the last 16 years? He's been traveling around the world consulting to top CEOs in their business development. It is such a radical, you know, fulfillment for him that it is wonderful to watch.
Oh, I just got chills. And again, I tell everybody every day, people say, well, how do you own your own company? How do you travel the world? How do you do speaking and wake up every day and do what you love? And 100 out of 100 times I tell them, you know, of course, there are many other things I do, like meditation, that contribute to my success. But I say none of this would have been possible had it not been for the foundation and the continuous participation, too, in just working on myself. I think it was perhaps a landmark forum leader years ago who said something profound. And that was, if you're not expanding, you're contracting. And it's about constantly being in the inquiry of and having that experience of, you know, what's next? What more could I learn for myself? What more could I uncover, right?
You know, that's exactly right, Jennifer. And I think, you know, that's why I eventually went and had my career. You know, I did my own program there. And then, as you said, I was working in the child abuse field at that point, and I used my own participation to empower myself to go and work at the national level for the National Committee for Prevention of Child Abuse and be instrumental in getting the organization set up all over this country to prevent child abuse. So, but then when that was complete, I decided, okay, well, I'm going to go and work for Landmark. And so I've been there now for 28 years. Okay. And it's been a real privilege. And, you know, I think the thing is, Jennifer, is because we're so the thing that we work on at Landmark is that people get to have the life they would design for themselves. You know, a lot of times you just end up with a life. You just end up in a job. You don't even know how come you studied what you studied in school. It's because somebody recommended it. Or how come you went into the field you're in is because other people you knew were in that field. And you just end up someplace that you never really intended to be or would have designed for yourself. And what we're very committed to is to give people the opportunity to live the life they would design for themselves, not the one they end up living.
That is words that everybody should listen to, because in my field and in my languaging, the way I call that is what we call reactive versus proactive living. Most of us live our lives like our life is happening to us rather than us being at the helm of our lives, directing and steering the ship of wherever we want it to go. So that leads me into my first question is, if somebody is out there and they're living a reactive life or a life that is not of their design just because they fell into it. Just last week, actually, a friend of mine, Dr. John Rubinow, was on the show. And this was a couple weeks ago. And he was telling our listeners how he went through medical school and actually went and became a doctor. And just his parents had wanted him to. It was not his calling. And he dropped everything, moved to California, and became a very famous voiceover actor. So from a Landmark standpoint, what would you suggest to anybody out there who's in the inquiry of, well, how do I create a life by design?
Well, the first thing is to there's really three steps. The first thing is to look to see what you're not satisfied with right now. And you know, it takes courage to say you're not satisfied.
It does.
It's easy to go. It's easy to go, okay, everything's fine. You know, if somebody just asks you, hey, how's work? You might go, it's fine. But you want to catch that it's fine, right? Because, you know, if the teacher asked you in second grade, how would you like your life to be when you grow up? you never would have gone, oh, when I grow up, I want to have a job where I'm kind of bored. You never would have said that. But now you end up with that if you do, and you call it fine. So the first thing to do is to have the courage to say, hey, there's aspects of my job or my career, if there are, here are the things that I'm not satisfied with that aren't working or not working as well as I want them to or aren't satisfying for me. Jennifer, that's the first step. And you know what? It takes courage to say that, actually. Then after saying that, then it's important to actually go, well, what is if I could make the list of really what I want and you know, nothing limited my thinking, you know. People do that about buying houses, right? They make a dream list for a house, and people do that about even, you know, mates and partners. They make a dream list for the perfect mate. Well, guess what? It's like that. You can make a dream list for the perfect job, too. And it really works to make that list as vivid and as, as accurate as you can make it about exactly what you want. Great. And then, Jennifer, the third thing that's the most important, too, is then, okay, if you think you can't have it, if you design your dream job or what you really want, and then all of a sudden you catch yourself thinking, I'll never get that job, or I can't have that job, or I'm not qualified, or they won't hire me, or that's not available. If you find yourself thinking that way, it's important to get that thinking or that decision, like, I'll never get that job. Guess what? It started a long time ago for each of us as human beings. There's things that happen when we're growing up where we get disappointed or we fail or somehow we get let down. And while we're growing up, we start limiting what we think is possible for ourselves. It's important to actually get that all those limiting ideas aren't about now. They're from the past. And if we can let go of them because they're from the past, then we're right here, right now. Anything is possible for us with our careers.
Well said. I completely agree with you, David. I mean, that was the turning point for me, is that I lived my life and just responded and reacted to circumstances, people, events. And it was only after I had done Landmark and had participated in Landmark for a number of years that I started to say, wow, you know, what would I really love to do? I would love to inspire people. I would love to make a difference in the world. And instead of helping 5 job seekers a week, what would it be like if I could help hundreds or tens of thousands of job seekers? And, you know, I joke with people all the time about even having this podcast and this radio show. I remember when I was a little girl, I would sit there with my best friend and pretend to be recording a radio show into a tape recorder, you know, and you'd play it back. And now I sit here in the studio and it's absolutely surreal to be living my dreams. But there was a point when I had participated in Landmark where I had it that, oh, I wasn't good enough. No. That was for other people, like smarter people or more successful people or people who had the right connections could have a radio show, but not me. And it really took something for me to let go of those limiting beliefs. And thank God for Landmark Forum leaders like yourself and my husband and friends who had participated that also listened to you as something greater than you know yourself to be. One of my favorite exercises, in fact, that I ever did in Landmark, I believe it was a self-expression and leadership program exercise where you go out in the world and you ask people, what was your first impression of me when we met? Where have I inspired you? Where have I disappointed you? You know, a couple of those questions. And what's your opinion of me now? And it was only after doing that self-reflection and then going out in the world and checking how I was perceived by others that I was able to see that who I wanted to be in the world wasn't in line with how people were perceiving me. And then I got to start working and realigning, okay, what do I need to let go of from my past so that I can come into my full confident and self-loving self? Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And the really good thing about that is for people to get is, you know, the past is over. Really. It really is
Are
over.
You sure?
The past isn't happening anymore. The only thing that continues from the past is something we decided about it. Mm. Something that we, you know, some decision we made about ourselves or other people or what's possible or not possible in life. That's the only thing that continues from the past is not the past itself, but what we've decided about it. Mm. And it's those decisions that limit our future because we think that the future has to be like the past. Well, guess what? It doesn't. The future does not have to be connected to the past.
Yeah, and the thing that I think Landmark gives anybody access to is a blank slate. That's the thing, is when you can actually take your past and put it back where it belongs in your past and have everything and anything available to you and say, okay, I have this blank slate now. I get to say what it is I want. Like you referenced earlier, you know, a lot of people will create a wish list of their ideal significant other, their ideal home. And so often we don't do that with our careers and we allow our careers just to unfold because of people we know or people who told us what we should be when we grew up, which ties back into our past. What would it be like for any of you out there who are listening just to go, okay, what would I want if I could have anything? A pink Cadillac, I think, is the example you guys sometimes use in Landmark. It's possible, right?
Exactly. You know, if people want to do a very concrete exercise, you know what they can do? You can just take out a piece of paper and draw a line right down the middle from the top to the bottom. And on the top of the left-hand column, write what happened. and on the top of the right-hand column, put what I decided. Mm. And you can go through and just list different events in your life, literally what happened. And then on the other side of the page, put, well, what I decided. Oh, I decided that I can't really have what I want. Oh, I decided that nobody's really there for me. Oh, I decided that I'm not good enough for this. And when you separate out the facts from the interpretation, from the decisions, and literally see they're different, they're not the same thing. The facts are the facts, and the story is the story. And then you'll see the facts are over. They're the past. They happened. No base debating to happen, but they're over. And the only thing still in existence for you is the decisions about those paths. And then notice something. The decisions, the interpretations didn't happen. They got added to what happened. Hmm. So they can't prove because we made them up. And there, when you get that, that's when you get a blank canvas, because then that takes, like you said, the past out of your future, and your future is a blank canvas then.
Thank you for clarifying that. And that's why I refer everybody to Landmark, because no matter how many years I've been participating as a student of Landmark programs, I can't in my best day explain it and extrapolate on it the way you just did. And I think for any of our listeners out there, I mean, that is such a powerful exercise just to touch the tip of the iceberg of what's possible and creating that blank slate to create whatever you want your life to look like. David, that's an amazing exercise. And another thing too that I want to make sure our listeners learn about from you is about how we think we are. So that ties into our past. I know so often we're brought up, just like for me, I was brought up shy, and everybody said, oh, you're an introvert, because when I was in grade school, I used to spend all of my lunches either alone helping out the handicapped at lunch or reading in the library. And so by very definition, I was an introvert. And now if you see me throwing a 200-person party for charity or hosting a show or doing a speaking engagement, people say, well, that's not possible. You're clearly not an introvert. You're an extrovert. And I love that Landmark gives you that distinction of, just because somebody said to you you were shy when you were younger, it doesn't make it true. You actually have access to creating exactly who you want to be, whether it's charismatic, dynamic, loving, lovable. I mean, I love that aspect of Landmark.
Jennifer, you know what proves that is that no matter how much you're sure there's a way you are, let's suppose somebody was just sure, oh, I'm just sure that I'm shy, or I'm sure that I'm quiet and reserved. That's just the way I am, they say. Well, guess what? You can always find a time before the first time they were ever quiet and reserved. You may have to go back till they were 3 or 4, but for sure you can find a time before they were ever quiet and reserved the first time, which proves it's not the way they are. Maybe it's a way they started becoming or became, even characteristically. And guess what? You can also find at least a moment in their life where they weren't that way at all, which proves there's no way we are, Jennifer. There's no one that is quiet and reserved. There's no one that is shy. There's no one that is even argumentative or resentful. Sometimes we characteristically start behaving a certain way or being a certain way, and we almost like get in the habit of it. But the good news is, it's not the way we are. It may be a way we characteristically are, but any and all ways of being are available to us. Always. Yeah. You know, here's the good news. You and I haven't lived the next minute of our life yet. So We haven't. So the next minute is actually up for grabs, isn't it? It could go anyway, couldn't it? And we could be anyway.
Yeah.
And that's always good news.
You're so right, is that it's a moment by moment choice that we have access to making. And one of my favorite things that I do for myself in my morning meditation that I tied in from my Landmark training is I actually generate who I want to be for the day. Like, what would it be like? I get to play with. Would it be fun to be grateful? Would it be fun to be, engaging or dynamic? Or even I could play with being shy if that's something that I thought might serve me in that particular day. And it's fun. It's like a new coat. You get to try it on and go, okay, who do I want to be today? You could be Superman or Superwoman, you know? And the fun thing is, it's all just out of what would empower me, what would give me access to happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment. And you get to play with what that would look like every day, rather than just having society, your parents, your past experiences, your childhood dictate who you are as an adult.
And Jennifer, there's something really interesting and great about what you're sharing about your own career, too. If you listen, everything you're talking about includes some aspect of contributing to others or making a difference. You know, when people are looking for a job, the number one thing that has somebody be satisfied, fulfilled, happy, is when they have some experience of contributing, some experience of making a difference to other people. So when you're looking for a job or thinking about a career, a good question to ask oneself is, hey, what opportunity does this particular job or this career path, what opportunity to contribute does it give me? Because that's where most of the satisfaction will come from.
Yeah, that's such a wonderful point that you just shared, because for me, that's what I've learned in life, whether I've studied landmark education or meditation principles, etc. It's interesting. It all comes back to the same foundation of sharing. It's just what you said. And in fact, for any of our listeners out there who are kind of wondering a little bit about landmark, one of the things that a lot of people get huge breakthroughs in, you might have anywhere from 40 to several hundred people in a class, and you might be the one to share, or somebody else might share, and I'll never forget some of the people who shared in my landmark forum well over 10 years ago. I still remember the difference they made by being courageous enough to share their stories, and what that did for me as a human being, and what that gave me access to was my greater unfoldment. And so even if you're not participating in a landmark program per se, just look at your everyday life and ask yourself, where could I share? Where could I contribute? What is one kind thing? That's something I tell people all the time. What is one kind thing I could say to another person? And in fact, I just remembered last week's show was all about positive energy because it tied into last week. And so I said to all of our listeners, if you just have a chance to say a kind word to another human being, to go out and do just one little act, it could be opening the door, smiling at a stranger, it all ties back in. And when you build a life around sharing, whether it's sharing personally or sharing professionally, it just gives you access to your own greatness and magnificence, because we get to see others be happy, and that in turn generates more satisfaction, whether you're personally generating that or professionally, like you said.
You know, and the other side of that is also true, being contributed to, you know, for as human beings to be, it's often difficult for us to let other people contribute to us. But, you know, there's a great diversity in the world, yes, and we love the diversity. We're all different, you know, and leading programs at Landmark, I've been able to travel to so many countries. I've led our programs in Bangkok and Tel Aviv and Bucharest, so many places around the world, and people are different. And yet, Jennifer, no matter where you go in the world, as different as we are and we love the diversity, there's something the same. There's something at the heart of matter, being a human being, that is the same. Like, there's something we all want, something that we're all committed to ultimately. And so when you can contribute and share, but also when you can see others, and even though they may be very different from you, they're dealing with something as a human being that we're all dealing with. And so we can learn from each other that way too.
Yes. And what you just brought up about contribution in human beings, I think is so important in the workplace, because on my end of the recruiting side of things, 9 out of 10 times, if I speak with somebody who is unhappy at their job, something is missing that's having them consider making a move, a lot of times it can be the other people in the office. And what I've learned, actually, it was out of a landmark class, something really fascinating that I started to play with, is where do we allow others to contribute to us, and where don't we allow others to contribute to us, and where do we allow ourselves to contribute to others, and where are we stopped and stifled? And I kid you not, David, from my perspective, that would solve 90% of all the problems in the workplace if we just started to be accountable and look at where are we stifling others' contribution or our own ability to be contributed to, And if we could understand, like what you just said, that we're all human beings having this human existence, and we feel like we're all these ships sailing along by ourselves. You see it all the time. If you're ever driving on the freeway, everybody's in their own world until, God forbid, somebody cuts you off and you honk or you yell. And what if we could just relate to one another? What if we went through life being related, taking it full circle back to what you said earlier? What if we chose to be related to every human being, even the people who we don't necessarily agree with, you know, their work style, their political beliefs, etc.? What if we could just choose to be related to them? That would be a success of exorbitant proportions, I would think, right?
It certainly would. And one of the things I think to learn and in life is that the more the people around us win, the more we win. You know, sometimes people think that they need to succeed individually, and so they try to succeed individually and kind of ignore or even compete with the people around them. But if you find yourself, as any human beings, the more you're surrounded by successful people, the more successful you're going to be. So to really, you know, have the people around you win as much as you do, it literally gives you more power, because then you've got the power of the whole group with you. Everybody's working together, having everybody win. Now you don't just have your own power. You got the power of everybody on the team or in the group.
Yes, I think that's important. It was funny. This is an interesting tie-in. My husband loves Survivor, and we were watching it the other night, and they had millennials versus Gen Xers. And what was really interesting is, from a generational standpoint, the Gen Xers had this challenge they had to win, and it was, I gotta do this, whatever this looks like, I'm gonna do it this way, the tried and true way, and they were trying to get over a balance beam. Well, the millennials approached it as, hey, how can we achieve this as a team? And so some people couldn't get over the balance beam, and so other people would carry them or would help. And it was fascinating to see how the Gen Xers actually lost that particular challenge because they were unable to help and collaborate with the one person who couldn't make it over. And I think it's so true of life, is that you're going to thrive and be more successful when you're part of a team and looking out for the better good. And I think the problem, honestly, quite frankly, in business is that in business, if you're not introduced to transformational work, whether it's Landmark or mindfulness, whatever it might be, you're taught from society that the only way to get ahead is to cut the people down above you. And I find it, quite frankly, unfortunate. I was going to use the word sad, but it takes a lot for me to say something is sad. I find it unfortunate that that's the mindset of humanity, when if we understood that we could achieve the same task faster, more efficiently, and with greater happiness for all involved, by just supporting and lifting one another up, I think we would have a transformed society.
For sure, Jen. And you know what else is, for us to confront as human beings, that mostly where our individual dreams die is when it takes a group to accomplish it, and we don't think we can work with a group. So as simple as we go, hey, let's have a family reunion, and then we think of our cousins and we go, forget it. Or we go, let's clean up the neighborhood. Then we think of our neighbors and we go, forget it. So mostly where our individual dreams die or we give up on them is when it takes a group of people and we can't imagine being someone who can empower that group of people, bring that group of people together in the fulfillment of a great idea. But when you know you're somebody who can pull any group of people anywhere, anytime together in the fulfillment of a possibility, in the fulfillment of a vision, you're unstoppable in the world. So we focus a lot on that at Landmark, is giving people the power to be someone who can bring groups together and lead groups, because that's what it takes to fill most of our individual dreams.
Yeah, is that we can accomplish so much more as human beings united, working together towards a common goal. And it is really interesting to look at and go, gosh, how can I work with Betty or Bob or Sue at my company? In some cases, I don't want my listeners to be mistaken. There are occasions where if you're miserable and there's no way to generate satisfaction and there's something specifically missing in your job that is not ever going to be present there, and it's not a way of being, it's not something David and I have already discussed, yes, there are going to be times where you absolutely should consider the opportunity to make a move. But there are so many other times out there where I think probably 50% or more of people who change jobs could easily stay in the position they're in if they just learn to collaborate and be part of a team. And in fact, the Landmark Forum is the first program, and then there's the Advanced Course, which teaches you how to work in groups. And for me, I participated in the Self-Expression and Leadership program years ago by shaving my head in honor of a little boy fighting cancer, who, by the way, is still now happy and healthy and thriving. And what blew my mind is, as part of my Self-Expression and Leadership program project, I do a charity event every other year, and I have no idea, David, the way my events touch people. I posted about it about a month ago about an upcoming event I'm doing, and this morning I was on the phone with somebody, and she said, "Oh, Jen, I can't wait to see you on Saturday. I'm so excited to support this amazing children's charity event this Saturday night." And I was so humbled, because here it was, I didn't even know that that invitation had reached her, and I was just so touched about the fact that we don't understand the power, we're sold out for this event, that we have when we can collaborate and be part of a group.
And you know what's great about that? It's a similar story. One of my brother-in-laws, he was an attorney in a firm and really did not like it. He was not happy there, right?
Yeah.
So when he did the Self-Expression Leadership Program, he decided to do a bowl-a-thon and raise money for cancer research, right? And that was his project. Now, he did it, and he was scared to death. He didn't think he could do it because he didn't think he was good with people, and he didn't think anybody would come, but he did it. And guess what? As soon as that project was over, he knew something new about himself. He knew he could work with people. So he resigned from the law firm that he was in that he didn't like and opened up his own law practice.
What?
And now he has a thriving law practice with other people working for him. He's thriving. But that all happened in that transformation where he went from knowing himself as somebody who wasn't good with people to somebody who could have people come together and accomplish something great together. And that's what allowed him to make that amazing career transition.
And, you know, it goes back to what you started the conversation with: courage. When we have courage about the things that terrify us the most, whether it's people or speaking or having our dream job, for some of us, having a fear of success. I mean, quite honestly, I applied a technique from Landmark years ago about creating the possibility of how much money I would make. And many, many years ago, I used to wake up every morning at the crack of dawn, and I would incorporate this Landmark technique. I'd say, "I am creating the possibility," and then I would follow that with however much money I wanted to make that year. Now, Landmark didn't teach that specifically. I kind of mixed it together and created my own model for it. And I will tell you, David, that the first year I did that, I made $20,000 more than I said I would. The second year I did that, I made $10,000 more, again, incrementally going up. The third year I did it, I made $100,000 more than the year before than I had made. And I kid you not, David, but here's what's interesting. I stopped doing it. It took me about 5 years after I hit. And for our listeners, you know what? I'll share it with you because I want you guys to understand that anybody listening out there, you have access to this. This is what was available to me out of Landmark. Is I made about $250,000 when I was a kid. I was like 26 years old. And I was terrified. And I then decided, oh, I can't be that person. What I say can't really be that great. And so I didn't do that for 5 years until I opened my own company. And then I started doing it again. And I tell you, it takes something to be the sort of person who says, you know what? I can make that money. I can have that job of my dreams. In your brother's case, I can open up my own firm. But it's taking you to constantly confront the things that you're afraid of. In some people's case, it's success. In your brother's case, maybe it was working with groups. And that's the opportunity I think we have, and you know, as human beings, is to confront our fears. And that's where the greatest outcomes and the greatest potential really unleashes itself, is when we confront the things we're most terrified of.
And it's also important for us to remember courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. You're not courageous when you're fearless. It doesn't take courage to do something you're not afraid to do. It takes courage to do something while you're afraid. So to be in action while you're afraid is what courage really is. And that's really good, because a lot of people think that before they can take action, their fear has to go away.
Mm.
No, you can be afraid and take action all at the same time. That's courage.
Thank you for that. That's a great contribution, because I've heard that before, and sometimes you just need to hear it again, and that really landed for me. I really got what you said. And so if people are feeling frustration or helplessness in the world, how do they begin to make a difference? What are some tools that they could use? I mean, if somebody's feeling like, well, life is happening to me, this is all fine and dandy, this landmark thing and everything Jennifer and David are talking about, but in reality, what are some tools to overcome frustration and helplessness?
Well, here's one tool, I think, is to let's look at problems. Let's look at a simple and yet amazingly powerful way to deal with problems, okay? So most people say, I want X, but I've got Y. Like, I want to go on vacation, but I don't have enough money. Or I want to be in a relationship, but I don't know anybody. Or I want the job I really want, but I have to make money. And when you get that, when we think we have a problem, it's that's how it sounds to us. I want one thing, but I've got another. So for people to literally take and think that through, what is the problem I got? Oh, I want a job where, you know, I want a job where I'm really satisfied, but I'm afraid to give up the one I've got. Okay. That's a problem. Anytime you want one thing, but you've got another, you've got a problem on your hands. Now, here's a simple tool. Change the word but to and. See, when you use the word but, the two things look like they can't exist at the same time. I want a job of my dreams, but I've got to make money. Now, when you use the word but, it looks like, okay, well, I'll never have the job of my dreams because I've got to make the money. But if you just change the word but to an and, I want the job of my dreams and I've got to make money, the two things aren't fighting each other anymore. They're not in opposition. They actually can happen at the same time. So one tool is look at the problems you got and just change that word but to and you'll get a whole new view of it and a whole new opening to make a difference.
That's great.
That's a simple one.
That's so easy for anybody to do out there because in language, and that's something we haven't even really touched on in this discussion, but I really would say in the last 10 plus years after having participated in the Landmark Forum and so forth, was that I really have access to paying careful attention to my language. And whenever I'm speaking in front of a group or even if I'm speaking with a job seeker, I tell people that you can see what you have based on the words you use. So many people walk through life. It's hard. I can't. But this, just that, I should. And the more we just start to bring awareness and consciousness and mindfulness, like you just said, replace the word but with and, it's a simple thing that any of you out there listening could apply and have it have a tremendous impact immediately in your life. Especially with travel, I see it happen all the time. People say, how do you go on 24 trips a year? It's because I look for reasons to do it. I look for and both rather than either or, which I know is a great landmark principle.
You know, it is. And our actions, it's important for us to get as human beings, our actions will always be consistent with our view of life. Mm. So, you know, a silly example is a few hundred years ago, they saw that line out there you and I call the horizon. Their view of it was the edge of the earth. And their actions were consistent with that. They go out a little ways, turn their boats around, and go home. Now, if you and I were alive back then, knowing then what we know now, we'd say, hey, keep going, keep sailing. Because our view of that line is that it's the horizon, not the edge of the earth. So our actions are different. People's actions are always consistent with their view of life. Okay, well, if we have a view of life like that job, I'll never get that job, then our action will be probably that we won't even apply for it. So the action is correlated to the way we view the situation. Yeah. Then the point you were making, Jen, is what gives us our view of life is the language we have. Our language shapes how we see life. So to work with language and to give us a view of life, that then our actions will be consistent with that new view of life.
Yeah, it's your action times your intention multiplied by your language that's going to equal your efficacy in life. It's, you know, it's not just one or another. It all kind of flows seamlessly together. Actions follow words, which follow intentions. And I think that if we bring it all together, we can get ourselves out of the vicious circle. I know that's something that we talked about in Landmark, is that we just get into this whole, I can't, it's too hard, and then we convince ourselves that it's impossible to get what we want. And the unfortunate thing about human beings in society is we tend to validate one another. I was just somewhere lately where somebody started having a conversation about, oh, this was awful, and this person did X to me, and da-da-da-da-da. And you could tell that person wanted either empathy or sympathy, but they were clearly coming at it like they were a victim in that circumstance. And what was really remarkable is in a five-minute conversation, rather than agreeing with that person and saying, oh, you're right, oh, I feel awful for you, oh, poor you, I said, wow, what if we looked at it this way? What if we found a way that you were responsible for that and you created that so that in turn you could have X or Y come to fruition? And I think when we shift our perspective and find accountability, that was probably one of the most powerful things I got out of Landmark, was accountability.
And it's so useful because, you know, at Landmark, we work in groups, we have people listen to each other, like you said earlier, Jen, but, and what's the point? It's because we've been talking to ourselves for years. So if the view of life we have comes from the conversations we're engaged with, well, we've been talking to ourselves and saying the same thing over and over again for years. It really works to have new conversations with new people and have conversations you never had before, because that's the only way you're going to get a new view of life and the only way you'll take new actions. And that's why we design our programs at Landmark the way we do, is so people can have new conversations they never had before, get a new view of life, and then take new actions.
You're right. It's about having access to the tools and to be able to speak almost a new language. When you have a new perspective, I think that's one of the most brilliant gifts that you could give a human being, is that we walk through life like we're a horse with the blinders on. And it's not bad. It's not wrong. We could certainly live our lives, and many of us do, walking through life and missing probably, you know, 95% of what's available around us, except for what's right in front of us. And when somebody like yourself, a Landmark Forum leader, or any sort of transformative teacher out there, gives us access to removing one, or, oh my God, amazing, two of our blinders, and then we have a 360-degree perspective of everything around us. We can look right, left, up, down. It really gives us access to our power. And I think that's what it's about, is realizing we're not alone. Everybody out there is facing some variation of one of the obstacles that David and I have spoke about today, whether it's a lack of satisfaction in the career, or not knowing where you're meant to be, or lack of personal satisfaction. You know, we've all had that experience. And if we can just be compassionate towards one another and realize we're all having this human experience, and be willing to shift our perspective and constantly look at, hey, who's somebody new? How can I change that, or transform that rather? I think that that would give any of our listeners access to their greatness. What are your thoughts, David?
Absolutely. And again, that simple thing you just said, it's not about changing something, because, you know, you've heard that old saying, the more you try to change something, the more it stays the same.
I know. That's why I was like, damn, I don't transform.
Exactly. Transformation is something else. Transformation is when something new becomes possible that was never possible before. So to really be able to see brand new possibilities, things that you never considered possible for yourself before, that's the most empowering thing that can happen for a human being.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's realizing, having access to transformation, and you don't know, you don't know. I know that's a famous Landmark one. There are so many things out there that, you know, we know what we know, we know what we don't know, but I know Landmark delves into it much further, and they talk about, well, there's what you don't know, you don't know, and in that, everything becomes possible.
Yeah, you know, mostly people think that the way to have something new happen is to add some knowledge or information to what you already know. While that's valuable, Jennifer, it doesn't allow for real breakthrough. For real breakthrough, you have to be able to discover something that you didn't even know was there to be discovered. Mm. You have to be able, and that's what you said, something you don't know and don't even know you don't know. And, you know, as human beings, we don't see everything in life. We don't even see things that are right in front of us. You know, sometimes somebody else could see a bird in the tree and we don't see it, but it's there. And so we have blind spots as human beings. And, in our blind spots are things like decisions we've made about ourselves that we don't even know we've made, or decisions we've made about life we don't even know we've made, or things we think are true about life that in fact are false. When you can see into those blind spots and you can actually see some new pathway you didn't see before, or you can see something holding you back that you didn't know was holding you back before, you can set yourself free. All the limitations come from those blind spots. And if you can eliminate the blind spots, you eliminate the limitations and you really get new power.
It's all about owning your power and giving yourself access to your power. So, David, you have given us so many amazing tools. Any last words of wisdom, any last tools you'd love to impart for our listeners? I know you've given us some wonderful exercises to go home and utilize.
Well, again, the past, I never worry about somebody's past. I don't care. Whatever the past was, it's a perfect starting point. Powerful people start where they're starting. And it's just, I don't care where it is. I don't care where it is. Good. This is where we're starting? Good. Let's start here. And for your listeners and for everybody listening to this broadcast is to get, okay, the past is complete. It got you here. Here you are. Let's start here and create a new future for you and create a future that is really the one you would design for yourself.
Well, David, you are a gift not only to our listeners, but to every human being on this planet. I've been privileged to know yourself and other Landmark Forum leaders throughout the years. And really, from the bottom of my heart, thank you not only for being on this show, but thank you for the gift that you are to humanity.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a privilege to be with you tonight, and I trust this was a valuable conversation for everybody listening.
Yes, absolutely. And for any of our listeners out there who would like to learn more about the Landmark Forum, the Landmark programs that we were talking about, you can go to www.landmarkworldwide.com. Again, that's www.landmarkworldwide.com. And I know you offer Landmark programs pretty much in most countries. Are there any countries you don't offer it in? I know I'm joking, but they're around the world pretty much.
A few, but if you go on the website, you can see many, many countries around the world and in many languages. So language isn't a barrier either.
That's fantastic. And for those of you tuning in, we will be back next week with Liz Moeller on the show, who is a career expert. You can always find us on iTunes at Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. If you ever miss us, you can find us there. And thank you, as always, to our listeners for tuning in, for supporting us. I'm intending that each and every one of you has a magnificent and fulfilled week. And thank you again, David, for being on the show.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jennifer.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.